Chronicles chapter 20.
Most of you are probably not even concerned about the time. Second Chronicles 20. Now I'm going to kind of finish up what we've been looking at regarding the day that prayer can make the difference. That was a message that started the series of studies, and we looked at several things and how the day that prayer can make the difference, and we began talking about the day of rebuke, the day of blasphemy, a day of trouble. And I'm calling this tonight, when God answers in your day of prayer. When God answers in your day of prayer. Because there's some things that when God does actually answer that we have to do. And if you're not prepared for that answer, you won't really receive it. And you won't really recognize that God has actually answered. Because in 2 Chronicles 20, where we looked at Joshua last week and how prayer can make the difference when we have no idea how to have victory, we see some principles here after they were promised the victory, and that I think will be consistent in every situation when you do pray. And some of it exciting, some of it's not exciting, but the victory is real nonetheless. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning of verse number 14, you'll notice that the word of God does say this. And when Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. He said, "Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed, for tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Father, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, help us now to see what to do when you answer our prayer, how we can trust you and experience the victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in verse number 12, we look at the gravity of the situation, how desperate Jehoshaphat was when he talked to the Lord. And he cries out to God. He says, "O our God, wilt not thou judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." So he's in a situation here, as we pointed out last week, the size of the enemy is so great. The army's so big. The odds are so much against them. They know they don't have the might to fight. They know they don't have the strength to fight. And they don't even have a clue of how to fight. You know, and really, in that time, I was thinking, one of the biggest obstacles, I was thinking about these whole series of studies, is really when you know that day is actually starting to pray. Because so often, Satan wants you to not even to pray at all. And that's what the whole emphasis is, that in when it's desperate like this, yes, you need to pray. Yes, there's an answer. And I think it sounds like this why the Lord's Prayer is probably in there. Because sometimes you don't even know what to say. You know, you don't even know what to do. Thank God the Holy Spirit makes intercession for groanings, which cannot be uttered. But sometimes you just start by saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You realize the power, and that makes you think and reflect on the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Lord, you're in control. If you say thy will be done to God, that means you recognize that that his will makes a difference. That he actually has the power to exercise his will in a situation, you know. Because I can have a will about something. I can have a will for victory, but that doesn't mean anything. Unless it coincides or agrees with the Father's will. And when it does, and I can say that will be done, and things go forward. But in this passage here, we see some things here. We looked at it last week of how God used the Holy Spirit to speak to Haziel. And he gives a great answer. He cries out to God, and he gets an answer to prayer. And we look at all the reasons why we could trust God, but here's what I want to point out, a few things in the passage tonight, that answer that comes, that answer might not be in the package that you see, and if you actually look at this story tonight, you'll see how it is and how we have to do something and really continue to trust the Lord. First thing I want you to notice tonight, number one, when God answers your prayer in the day of trouble is, number one, you will be required to face your greatest fear. You will be required to face your greatest fear. Notice what it said in verse 15. Hearken, and he said, Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord God, be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now God's going to give the answer, but his answer is going to cause you to actually face that which you're afraid of. Because the thing that you cried out to God for, you're going to have to come to terms with the fact that, yes, you have no might. Yes, you do not have the ability. But in the process of actually going forward and experiencing the victory, in the process of actually trusting God, you will have to face that which you are afraid of. And you will have to trust God to do that. Now, hold your place here and turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, and beginning of verse number 7, read a few several verses here. The Word of God says this, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we should live through him. Okay, if you're saved tonight, the purpose, God sent his Son into the world that we should live through him. So live. Catch that. We should live through him. Not be defeated, but live through him. That's the love of God. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the payment for our sins. So the love of God is not that we love him, but it's that he loved us, and he proved it by sending his only begotten Son to die and pay for our sins on our behalf. Verse 11, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. The Holy Spirit confirms that we know him. And that's the great thing about salvation. I said it all often. There's only one person that can tell you you're saved and you believe it. That's the Holy Ghost of God. I mean, I can tell you, another pastor can tell you, your family can tell you, but unless the Holy Ghost of God tells you, you won't know it. And you'll have no security about it. Many people profess a salvation, But they don't even have any security in that salvation because the Holy Ghost has not told them that. Verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. Now, I read all that to bring you to this verse here. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Now, if you meditate on the fact, if because of the relation with Jesus Christ, the whole purpose that God sent his Son, looking at verse 9, was that we might live through him. And many times when we're facing our greatest fear, we think, man, how can I live? I can't go on. Sometimes it's a situation, I can't make it. But the whole purpose of Christ coming, that we should live through him. We should escape, number one, the bondage from our sin and the death that came with that, and the penalty with that. But also, Jesus said that I am come, the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that ye have life and that ye have it more abundantly. So the whole purpose of Christ coming is a life. And when we're facing that fear, literally in this situation, in 2 Chronicles, they thought they were going to die. And many times in our situation, we may not actually feel like we're going to die in that situation, but we really don't see how we can actually live in that situation. That's why people commit suicide, because they don't really see how in the world can I go on in this situation. How can I continue in this situation? How can I live? And God answers prayer, and he says, well, face your fear. He says, fear not, because God knows us, right? And so he tells us here, and just like he told the people here, now fear not for the Lord. Be not, if you tell them back in verse 15, back in 2 Chronicles, be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude. So that greatest fear, don't be dismayed by it. You have to face that. That's that when God answers, you have to face that. But again, we already read last week, remember the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Number two, you will be required to walk by faith. You will be required to walk by faith. Notice verse 16. Now, we read, now God's given the answer now. They're in a day of trouble, and they call out to God. They don't know what to do, and God gives them an answer. They say, face your great, and the first answer is face your greatest fear. Don't be afraid. Why? Because God said not to. Number two, you have to walk by faith. Verse 16, notice what he tells them. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook. Now, this I think it's kind of funny. I kind of got a chuckle when I read this today. He said, now, go down by the brook, the end of the brook, you'll find them. There's so many of them, it's easy to find them. I mean, they went to God because they don't want to find them. They're in trouble. And he said, now, go down by the end of the brook, and you'll find the enemy, that multitude that, you know, you're afraid we're going to destroy you. I need you to go find them. See, this is faith, because if going by the end of the brook before the wilderness, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Now, the reason this is significant is you think why I say you have to walk by faith, because understand this. Now, they went to God for an answer to prayer. Now, number one, God said, now go against the enemy. First thing, the size of the enemy has not changed one bit. The size of the enemy hasn't changed. Number two, the size of their own personal army hasn't changed. Number three, God has not provided them with any new weapons of warfare. He's not giving them anything. He said, if you take this one thing, you're going to get victory. God has not given them anything new. He's not even removed the enemy. He's not taken their size away. He's not made them stronger. And last thing, they only had one promise. Something that God would be with them. We see in verse 17, he says, the last part of the verse, tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now, that's greatly significant, because in the day when you're praying, and God tells you to face that greatest fear, and God tells you to begin that walk of faith, most likely, there will not be one change in your circumstances whatsoever. The only thing you'll have to cling to
to begin that fresh walk of faith is that God said so. God said so. And unless you, and it's good in the passage here, notice what it said in verse 17, tomorrow, go, you have to go against him. Notice what it says here, and the Lord will be with you. So you have to go. The promise is if you go, he'll be with you. Because if you go down and find the enemy, I'll be there with you. And then they did exactly what God says, and we read the story, and then they went out and said, man, there's dead corpses everywhere. God fought the battle for them. And because what can happen is sometimes you and I, we go to God, Lord, I have no might. I have no idea what to do. And God will say, the Spirit of God will reveal something from the Word of God, a promise. And you have to get up and go into that situation. Not one thing has changed. You've not received any more strength personally. You don't have any more might. God, at this point, God has not even reduced the size of the enemy or removed it anyway. You have to go, you got to go find the enemy. You got to go face it. And this is for many people where the victory stops. Because they pray, and you ever do this? And maybe only ever do this. You have a struggle. If you've been saved a period of time, and maybe you're struggling with something, and somebody tells you a Bible verse about it. And there's something inside of you that says, well, I already knew that. or I heard that verse before. But that verse really was the answer of victory. And that verse was really the answer. But unless you realize what's going on, that you actually have to take the Word of God and face what you're going into with it. And you have to walk by faith based on the authority of what thus saith the Lord. That cry for prayer, that cry for help, in that face of despair, when God answered, you don't even realize he answered it. And you stand still, and what happens, he said, if you go, I'll be with you, and you stay in your same place, you don't go anywhere, and you just come get overtaken by the enemy. Because we must walk by faith, because faith is where the victory comes through. Last thing, or next thing, you need to praise God, and these two are so interconnected. You need to praise God when nothing has changed about your circumstances. Because we see in verse number 17, I think it is, verse 21 actually. And when they had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army, now the praisers are going to go before the army. And as they praised the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Now the Bible tells in Psalm 46 verse 1, that the Lord is a very present help in trouble. So if you're in trouble, you should praise God for being there. I've said it probably 1,000 times. Or probably just 497. We should praise the Lord while you're in trouble. Because why? He's there. Because that's what he says. And that's a faith decision. Because you can't really see him. But you praise the Lord. Now turn to Psalm 136. Because it's possibly where they where this came from. In Psalm 136. Because again, the army, the praise people are going to go out and praise the beauty of the holiness, and they're going to say, for his mercy endureth forever. And they're going to go out again when the size of the enemy hasn't changed, the size of the army of their personal army has not changed. God has not provided them with any new weapons of warfare. Because see, that's what we think sometimes. Or let me just pick on me. I'm going through a trial, and I want a new Bible verse. I want a new verse that seems like it has different power before. But generally what it is, it's an old verse I've heard 1,000 times. But the Holy Spirit just said, this is it. 136 verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders. You all underline that. To him who alone doeth great wonders. For his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt,
in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Now the reason you can, and if you caught what it's saying there, the reason you can praise God when nothing changes about the circumstances is why?
For his mercy endureth forever.
Amen. Amen. So you can trust God in a situation, no matter how big it is, how large it is. You can actually praise him that there's hope and help, because we read through a variety of miracles and deliverances that God did for his people, because his mercy endureth forever. Now back in our text, the last thing is very simple. And when God answers in your day of prayer, number one, you will be required to face your greatest fear. Because remember, that's what you cried to God for, because you are out of help, out of power, out of strength. You'll be required to walk by faith. He says, go ye down against them. You've got to go. Why? Because he said to go. You know, we want to retreat from difficulties. No, God says go right into them. When you praise God, when nothing changed about our circumstances, that big problem, the size of it may not change a bit. That bill, that dollar amount may not change one bit. Your bank account may not change one bit. But God says, trust him by faith. Maybe a health concern, maybe a relationship concern, circumstances, maybe who knows, whatever. Doesn't change a bit. He said, just go. He may not provide you any new strength. You may not even feel like you got more power. You may not feel like nothing's changed. You may not feel like anything has changed. You may look at the situation and, well, I prayed about this and I asked God for it. I know God said this, but I don't see anything different at all. He said, absolutely right. Just go. Walk by faith. And while you're going, he said, praise me along the way. And then the last part is where, you know what happens after that? God does all the rest. God, he keeps his word. Verse 22 says, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked in unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. That's a pretty good victory. You know, that's when you experience God doing exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. One thing that you might not read, the scripture does not say, is we know they rose up early in the morning. And I realize everybody's battle or circumstance is different. But that morning walk, within that variety of people probably seemed like longer, different lengths of time to different people. You understand what I'm saying? Because depending on what how big the battle is, I mean, when you're walking, they'll step with faith toward that enemy, toward that world. Let me say, toward that greatest fear. When you walk in those steps of faith toward that greatest fear and you're praising, that walk could be a morning. That walk could be a day. That walk could be a week. That walk could be a month, depending on what the situation is. But the reality is, the walk is guaranteed based on the authority of what thus saith the Lord. So when you pray and God has spoken and given an answer by the word of God, you just got to take a walk, no matter how long it is. Just like in for different people, different situations. Just like the Battle of Jericho, their walk was 7 days. They just walked around 7 days, and God said, don't say anything. The better 7th day, he said, you just shout, amen. Because he said, I'll take care of it. And for us, for you right now, he said, walk. But he said, why you walk? Praise him. Why? Because his mercy endureth forever. And since his mercy endureth forever, regardless of the size of the enemy, or regardless of the size of the enemy, God will give his mercy. Because Jesus himself said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. We're going to learn what that means. And the reason, and that's such a powerful truth if you understand that, because what I would like to do, honestly, in my Christian life, I would rather have sacrifice. Because if I can sacrifice, that means if I do X, Y, or A, B, C, and D, that I can see that. If I can know that I do A, B, C, and D, then I can actually trust God for the victory or whatever. Now, that saying is easier because it's by sight. But actually, mercy is really a greater fountain of supply. Because mercy is not based on your merit, it's based on God's merit. And we just read in Psalm 136, his mercy endureth how long?
Forever.
And so what a greater fountain of supply, what a greater fountain of blessing, what a greater opportunity to be able to depend, to walk into your greatest fear and to begin that walk of faith knowing that his mercy endureth forever, again, because you don't deserve it, I don't deserve it, but mercy is just a character that God displays so we can praise him for that. We can praise the Lord that his mercy endureth forever. You know what that happens? So when you walk, when you get your answer to prayer, and you live that life of faith, then those who are without Christ, when they're in the deepest and darkest of sin, and they're wondering if there's any hope for them, you can tell them yes, because let me tell you what God did for me, not because I'm a great Christian, not because I even have great faith, not because of any, but because his mercy endureth forever. You know, if we really understand that, it simplifies everything we do for God. Because many people will never experience a victory because they're so trying to qualify themselves. Yeah, we have to not be in sin, but even still, when we call out to God for help, it's based on his mercy. Even if you're in sin and you repent tonight, you can have mercy because his mercy endures forever. You know, and God's not looking for a perfect vessel. He's just looking for a vessel that will actually trust him. And when you trust him, you're trusting his mercy. And again, his mercy endures forever. So when you come to that situation, and if you lay hold of the horns of the altar, so to speak, and you see by the word of God, yes, it's a day of trouble. Yes, it's a day of rebuke. Yes, it's a day of blasphemy. I believe prayer can make the difference. And then God answers your prayer and says, you don't have to fight. Here it is. Here's where your victory is promised. Take the word of God. Face that greatest fear. Take the word of God and just start that walk of faith. And keep your eyes on the word, not the circumstances. Because again, nothing changed about the circumstances. The only thing, they were given a command to walk by faith. Because you think, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Everything else is not substance. See, the only substance for hope is faith. Do you understand that? Because think about it. Many times our circumstances change and we think that gives us substance. But no, it gives us, it's like a Tylenol, so to speak, or ibuprofen. It gives an alleviation, but it really doesn't give us substance. Because as soon as the circumstances change, we're shaky all over again. But see, when you got faith,
It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Because you got substance in every situation. Because thus saith the Lord. And you walk and you're able to do what God would have you to do. And then you just might as well start praising him. Because even though you may not be deceived for the moment, you can say based on the authority of the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit, if you're born again, that's what again, born again. We can't just be religious. We've got to be born again, children of God. The Holy Spirit inside of us will bear witness to the fact that his mercy endures forever. Because we have a time and a place where we're born again. We know that that is the day God rescued our soul from the bondage of sin and self and rescued us from hell, made us his child. And we know firsthand that mercy endures forever. And then in that situation, no matter how big it is, the Spirit of God will say there's nothing bigger than that salvation day. And then we trust him, we go forward, and then we praise the Lord. Then we go around and we see how God destroyed all the works of the devil and the enemy. And then for those that know us, when they go through their trial and their situation, and they want to say, man, you must be a strong person. No, no. Let me just tell you that his mercy endureth forever. And it's available to every single person that's willing to call upon God for that. So in your day of trouble, call upon the Lord. There's no day of trouble that God cannot deliver you from. But when he answers, recognize how he answers so you won't be shaken in your mind. And you actually begin that walk of victory. And you can experience going to the battle and seeing, you know what? God was right. I didn't have to fight. He did it all. Because remember, he said all power is given to him in heaven and in earth. If God has all the power, what do we have to do? No, just nothing. Just trust him. Father, tonight, you're a great God, full of mercy, full of truth, full of grace. I pray you help us to trust you more. Father, I pray you apply these truths to the lives of every hearer tonight. God, I would venture to say this. People are praying through some difficulties right now. And Father, you've given them different words of scripture, but perhaps they may respond like I have in the past. Well, I've already heard that. What I want is something new and a different verse, a different application. And he said, no, just here it is. Just because my heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So Father, help those that are praying and you've answered through the word tonight to trust you for that new walk of victory and help them to realize that your mercy will take care of the situation.